here and enjoy ourselves. We're going to begin with the word of prayer. Lord God, thank you for the gift of another day, for life and breath, the opportunity to bring you glory in it. Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would make our hearts and our minds the good soil that you talk about, ready to receive the gift of these words that are before us. May then the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today we're in the Gospel of Matthew, the fifth chapter, and remember, this is the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapters 5 through 7 cover the teaching of Jesus, the greatest sermon ever recorded by the Sea of Galilee. Today, Jesus is talking again about the law. And remember that Jesus has talked about the law. This would be the law of Israel, the Torah, and this would be the law that the people, the Israelites, would be living in their everyday lives. And again, we're going to hear some words of Jesus that are difficult to accept and understand. If you have your blue sheet, I want you to take a look at the picture on there real quick. There's a dude on the front. This guy hangs out at church every once in a while. It's Corey Bob Smith. You may recognize him. But he has that kind of look on his face that's questioning. See, when it comes to crazy talk, this guy knows what we're talking about. The Urban Dictionary defines crazy talk as something which makes no sense at all. You can imagine the hearers of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus is giving it, having this look. Most of them would be thinking, if not saying to their neighbor, "Hey, man, this is crazy talk, what Jesus is talking about." Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount has a formula in the way he teaches. Jesus' formula goes this way. It was said, and then I tell you. And we find that happening three times in the first few verses. We're going to be in verses 38 through 42 today. And so Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said." And when he says those words, then he typically refers to an Old Testament text or a law of the land that everyone would know. When Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said," he's talking about a common and well-known law regarding personal rights and expectations. And then the formula concludes when Jesus reinterprets that law. Remember, Jesus said, "I've not come to abolish the law, but I have come to," what's the word? "Fulfill the law," to make it perfect. And so Jesus says, "But I tell you," and then this would be the crazy talk part, right? People would start thinking to themselves, "I wonder if this guy's right in the head." In our text today, verses 38 through 42, he says several things about the law, but his point is simply this: "I tell you, do not resist an evildoer." Now, something important to note. This is a personal attitude in the kingdom of God or heaven. This particular passage is one of the most misunderstood and misinterpreted texts of all Scripture. You see, Jesus is talking about our personal attitude in the kingdom of God. What's not meant here is societal or governmental attitudes or positions. Namely, we should not develop legislation based on this text. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about our living in the kingdom and our personal attitudes in that kingdom. So we have to keep those things straight. So what's the crazy talk of Jesus? Well, number one, he says to them, "It was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, turn to them the other cheek also." Now, in Jesus' society in the first century, they didn't have the Bible written out except for on scrolls. And those scrolls were typically read during the time of worship on Saturdays, the Sabbath, in the synagogue. And so people would not have these scriptures written in front of them, but these laws were passed down orally. So people would know them, no doubt. And so when Jesus referred to this particular text as recorded in Exodus 21, remember Moses received the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, and then the law comes from those Ten Commandments and those tablets, the whole code of the law. And in Exodus 21, verses 23 through 24, Jesus is referencing this text. If there is a serious injury between two people, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, and bruise for bruise. And so the law prescribed, when it came to justice, this is what we're talking about, that whatever someone did against another, they would pay the same amount. It's not necessarily literal, but it has to do with justice. Here's the kingdom crazy part that people would be curious about and saying to one another, well, what does Jesus mean here? And so they have heard eye for eye, tooth for tooth, equal justice. But Jesus says, I say to you, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. This is most likely not about the physical wound to the person. You see, it presumes that from a right-handed person, if you are slapping someone on their right cheek, what part of the hand are you going to hit them with? The backhand. That's an insult. It's not a fist punch. It's not a slap across the face. But in the first century, if you hit somebody backhanded, you were insulting their honor and their character. This is not a good text to stand on for self-defense or to argue against it. No, it's not about self-defense. It's about an insult to your character and your honor and your personhood. Namely, Jesus is saying, if someone dishonors you, let them dishonor you again. Don't seek your own justice, is the point. Don't seek your own retribution. In fact, the Old Testament says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Not vengeance is mine, saith me. Not vengeance is mine, saith the courts, but vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And so the point here is that we don't seek personal retribution, justice, revenge, restoration of honor. No, these things are God's, and we trust God for them. Now, this would be crazy teaching in the first century, because they were all about right and wrong. And if I'm wronged, you will restore me. If you have lashed out against me, then justice should be mine and vengeance. But Jesus says, don't be worried about those things. Surrender those things in the kingdom of God. And that's what we're talking about. The kingdom of God, our attitude within that kingdom. Jesus says, if you're going to be living in God's kingdom, allow God to be the one who is just. Allow God to get retribution. Allow God to restore your honor. Now, does this mean that we ought not be concerned about justice? Of course not. Especially at a corporate level, especially at a governmental level. The Bible does talk simply and clearly about justice. But in the kingdom of God, when we are dishonored, we are to allow that dishonor to go. Number two, Jesus continues to talk crazy. You can almost hear the murmur in the crowd, can't you? What did he say? Did he say, turn the other cheek? Well, what's next? Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt. But Jesus says, I tell you, though, hand over your coat as well. He's referencing Exodus 22, more of the covenant law code recorded in Exodus chapters 19 and following. The text says, if you take your neighbor's cloak as a pledge, return it by sunset, because that cloak is the only covering your neighbor has. What else can they sleep in? And so the law allowed for you to lend someone either your shirt or your cloak. It didn't matter. We don't get hung up here on the details. But you could lend your clothing to someone else. But you were to return it by day's end. But listen to this. Jesus changes. Jesus fulfills the law. Jesus gives broader meaning to the law. Jesus says to you, hand over your coat as well. Not just your shirt, but your coat to them. Give them and do not turn away. Do not turn them away. This is the attitude. This is the posture. This is the position of someone in the kingdom of God. We're not seeking justice for ourselves or fairness. We are loving to be just and fair to others. You see, if you live in the kingdom of God, you've heard the old adage, right? They'd give you the shirt off their back. Do you know where that comes from? The Bible. In fact, most idioms do. And so we give them the shirt off our back. Jesus is expanding the law. He's broadening it. He's not abolishing the law by any means, but he's giving new interpretation and meaning to the law to expand it for the people. And so if we lend our shirt and it's not returned, then we give them our cloak also. Why? Because in the kingdom of God, we take care of each other and the others' needs. Number three, Jesus says that it was said, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, you ought to go. But I tell you, go with them 2 miles. Now, this we can't find in Scripture. We have to go back to historians like Josephus and others in the first century. But there was a Roman rule that soldiers could require the service of Jews to basically carry their stuff. They could say to you, Corey, I need you to carry my clothes, my sword, whatever they're going to carry, and you were required to carry it for 1 mile. Just like in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 32, the Roman soldiers solicited the service of Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross of Jesus. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They were enacting this law. And so the Jews would know, as they heard on this mountainside the sermon of Jesus, that they could be pressed into service. And Jesus says, instead of complaining about this, which was probably the habit, right? I'm just going to the store to pick up some vegetables. I don't want to walk a mile with your stuff. But Jesus says, no, do it willingly. And not just 1 mile, but 2. This is the kingdom crazy which Jesus speaks. You can hear the crowd murmuring to one another. That's just crazy talk. Here's the point. The follower of Jesus in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, as recorded in the other gospels, puts others before themselves. Period. We think of others. We love others. We lift up others before our own needs are met. The Apostle Peter, he knew this law of Jesus, the law of the kingdom, all too well. And he writes about Jesus. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This text reminds us that Jesus' followers, you and me, we don't retaliate. We don't respond in kind. We don't seek personal retribution or vengeance or even justice, because we trust God for those things and we depend on Him. And by our actions, we witness the love of Christ for all people. This text reminds us that Jesus' followers, both you and me, we do not insist on our own personal rights. We don't say things like, "You owe me," or "You're going to get what's coming to you." But we trust the one who is trustworthy to depend on our needs and our rights. This text reminds us that Jesus' followers do more than what is expected for others, and we trust God for the rest. Because this is what the author and perfecter of our faith did. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. So friends, if you're going to take living in the kingdom of God seriously, follow the example of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, our Savior and our Lord, and put others' needs above your own. Amen. Please stand now as we sing together our hymn.